I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Having Tom, a guy like that, say that, I mean, it just motivates me even more. And I've actually talked to Tom a good amount this offseason, and it's cool that he wants to give me advice. You know, he doesn't have to be like that. He's such a good dude, and I have so much respect for him, and I'll take any advice he gives me.
What does he say to you? What's the best advice?
I got to keep the secrets here. But he always talks about being yourself. He thinks that, which I truly believe, too, is that guys can spot when you're not authentic and you're not putting in the work.
Kermit the Frog here.
I'm here.
And we are here at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by our friends at New England Ford. The New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event is happening now. Hurry in to get great deals, including on the F-Series. Ford, the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. WEEI Afternoons rolling on right now. Of course, Big Ted Johnson, Danny Ballgame, and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here with you until 6 o'clock, at which time Ted and I will leave and go about our weekend. Dan Ball is going to get you the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. 7:10, first pitch tonight, Rays versus Sox, game two of a big four-game series before the All-Star break. So that audio popped up the other day on FanDuel TV's Up and Adams show, hosted by our pal Kay Adams. And I thought it was interesting. You know, you don't often hear of players who competed at such a high level together, Ted, let alone were mentioned in a similar conversation, a dialogue. Remember, you know, how we were all getting suffocated out back in January and early February, you know, with the incessant, if Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, is he the new GOAT? And of course, Philadelphia had something to say about that. And that dialogue and debate has been kind of like the Kansas City offensive line, put to bed for a long time. But that Tom Brady goes out of his way to give advice to and help Patrick Mahomes, you know, clear certain hurdles or, you know, deal with, you know, potholes along the way on the roadmap to his success is really impressive to me. It speaks volumes as to what Brady is all about. But also that Mahomes, I think it's interesting that Mahomes is receptive to all this because he is Patrick Mahomes, and he's been pretty damn successful for a decade. Does he really need to take advice from anyone?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the best to ever play your position, you'd be stupid not to get to listen and hear him out. I mean, if you just – your ego's so big and your hubris is so prevalent that you're too good to hear some tips from the best to ever do it, that would be surprising. So, you know, and this is – my guess is this is the Tom Brady version – that you probably didn't see during his playing careers. Like, you know, why would I give – I don't know if he was that gracious with his stuff when he played. And,
right.
But I think him and – I put Belichick in the same kind of class right now as far as the height of their superpowers are going to be – you know, the closer they are to just playing that game. Like, I mean, if the older they get, the more detached they get from their playing days or coaching days, the less relevant they will be. And so I think they're maximizing their popularity post-retirement, you know, Bill, not, you know, retiring from the NFL, but to kind of just, you know, people want to know what did you guys do and how did you do it? Can you help us out? Because, you know, we want to kind of get the same magic that you guys had, and what can you teach us? So I think they're both in that mode right now.
I mean, to be fair to that, you know, there's a need and a curiosity everywhere in sports. How do we build the dynasty? How do we build the coach and star player dynamic that's going to win us championships and make us the greatest of all time? There's even a need for that in just, you know, corporate life, real life. How am I the best? How do I wake up and follow the Patriot way or follow the Alex Guerrero TB12 method that makes me the best? Everybody wants to get a little piece of the best of the greatest of all time message. And Fitzy, there's also a lot of money in that.
There's a ton of money. I always thought that was the route Brady was going to go. Like, just sort of going on the super successful. I mean, and we've seen him at both Fanatics Fest, obviously, last June at his Patriots Hall of Fame retirement, giving these speeches. that resonate when he's preaching about how hard football is, how hard work is the only answer to anything in life.
Right.
You know, and that psychopathic devotion he has to greatness and where it comes from and what all of this stuff means to him. I love that. I never thought necessarily that he was going to go to the broadcast booth or that he would be an owner.
Is it a little flashier than you thought it would be after his career?
I always thought
flashier.
He's
a little more public eye. Like the fact that he's a part owner of a marquee franchise.
That surprises you?
On Fox. See, was he all, but because I guess this is later Tom chased the fame. Was Tom Brady obsessed with fame in the early 2000s?
Yeah.
Thought he was
not in the early 2000s, not necessarily. I think 2007 changed everything. I think that's when he went into another stratosphere with the records and everything and the season that they had. But he's had TB12 for a long time.
Yeah.
And exactly. When did he meet Giselle? 2004? And she was the one that probably influenced him the most into building a brand and how it's important to be relevant and to always make yourself newsworthy, constantly kind of being in the news for something so that people are talking about you. I'm sure he got that from his ex-wife too, right? So I don't think that's who he was coming in. I think that's maybe who he aspired to be. And then things unfolded in a way where, you know, he was able to, really maximize his, when you're winning like he does and you're associated with winning, right? When you think of Tom Brady, you go, what's his best attribute? Well, he just won.
Right.
Like that's the greatest brand ever. But I think he was helped along the way.
And that's an interesting timeline too, because we talk about the Belichick and Brady partnership so much. And at a certain point, at least from the outside, it felt like Brady, the TB12 brand, just him as an individual and as a being, became bigger than the Patriot way, became bigger than Belichick and everything that he had kind of grown up under. And that's an interesting kind of window into how he was thinking and how maybe things kind of ended up getting a bit more tense than they were.
What do you think, Dan Fitzy? When do you think, what did Tom do that you were like, wow, I can't believe he did this project? Can you think of a
80 for Brady?
that's a good call. Should have never.
That movie was terrible. But I want my money.
But
think
about it. 2017. What did he post in the office?
Oh, yeah, Tom versus Time.
I thought that was. I couldn't believe he put that out.
It's crazy.
I was shocked. Like, wait a minute. This is so anti Bill. What Bill wants.
Right.
But that's when you knew the divide was real. Like that's when you
that
knew
was
there was something like
2017.
He's trying to get his message out because Giselle is tired of him being treated like Johnny effing Foxborough.
Oh yeah,
you know, and Bill doesn't give him a hug and tell him what he needs. And Ted,
he didn't give him a game ball. Like just that's so Bill. Bill didn't. And you go, why does Tom care about a game ball? Can I just, for the record,
please?
You know what? Guys care about that stuff. You know why? Because you want to be acknowledged. It's more important to get acknowledged by your coach in front of your teammates than it is any Joe Bag of Donut fan out there.
Yeah.
And so it's
important. Especially a guy who's busting your balls at the level.
And that's why Gerard Mayo gave everyone a game ball after they beat the Bengals. And then that game.
Everyone's a winner.
That game got on roller skates on an icy mountain and went downhill real fast. But like, to me, the most galling thing, the reason why I'm stunned Tom Brady even came back for 18 and 19. So it's January 2018. And I've seen the photos of this too. There's practice. Rex Burkhead runs into him, almost tears his thumb off. And he gets that, you know, surgery done that day, gets his thumb basically reattached, has it almost hanging off by the time he goes up against the
Jags. Okay, it's not that bad.
It was bad. All right, it was a gap. It was a gap. It was not even just a gash. Anyway, long story short.
It's like, you should see what I dealt with.
I know. All right, he's got the bad injury.
Away from the heart.
Yep. And then the whole thing, it's not open heart surgery. Yes. He couldn't have said something nice to him that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there are, so these are things that Mahomes is going to deal with. Now,
that was 2018?
It was the 2017 season, January 2018.
All right.
And then they benched Malcolm Butler, put in Jordan Badmosi and Jordan Richards, crapped the bed on national TV and lose a Super Bowl they shouldn't have lost because he threw for 505 yards. So, man. Brady's, it's still unbelievable. Like, damn near pitched a perfect game.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Gronk was unstoppable in the second half of the game. So now, like, as it relates to Mahomes. So Mahomes could be at an interesting little inflection point himself now in his career, Ted, because he worked real hard. He became the next big thing. It was Mahomes or was it Brady? And then he has a Super Bowl in which, if he wins, the majority of hot take media is going to crown him. It's a coronation. He's going to be the new GOAT. He gets his junk handed to him on national television by the Philadelphia Eagles. That game was an ass whooping from minute one. How do you think Mahomes and Reed and the Chiefs, since they are the team to beat, supposedly still in the NFL, how do they bounce back from something like that? And do you think this is the kind of season where Mahomes doubles down and shows everyone, no, Brady told me how to do this. I am the new GOAT.
I don't know about that. But it'll be interesting from a psychological standpoint. You had a chance to etch yourself in history. You went 4 out of 5. Right, you go back to back to back, and that's something Brady never did, and you were that close, and it didn't happen. I think it's gonna be a hard season for the Chiefs. I feel like there's going to be. They landed a great offensive weapon in the draft, didn't they? Like, didn't they?
They got Isaiah Worthy last year, and this year Josh Simmons fell to them.
Okay, they just seem to make really good deals at draft night, but. I don't know why. I just think emotionally, I think it's hard to be. I mean, the two stars, you know, especially Kelsey, he goes, burns it on both ends. You wonder, you know, Andy Reid, he's getting up there. The beauty of what made the dynasty here with the Patriots, it was the staying power that Brady had. Like, wait, he's coming back for a 12th year, for a 15th year, for an 18th. What? And he just has the same drive, same kind of way. That is hard to do year after year after year, especially when you've had success that they've already had. So, we're going to find out what Mahomes is made of, right, mentally. Because the beauty of Tom was the fact that he just kept coming back and kept coming back and never, ever did the job go, you know, did every look at it like, I'm going to take this year off. Every year he was trying to be as good as he was, if not better, the year before.
Yeah, I mean,
that's hard to do.
That's why Scott Pioli called him Freddy Krueger in the documentary.
And I'll be honest real quick. Part of what led me to retire, mostly head stuff, but there's a point in which it's the same speeches. It's the same rookies doing the same stupid stuff that the whole team has to pay, be accountable for. It's the same kind of just world, where it's like, we don't tell, you don't talk about anything other than just what you say in that little bubble. It gets kind of laborious and tiring, and you get over it. But Tom never did. And will Patrick Mahomes, how will he react, going into year 12, 13, 14? I just think after what he's done to this point and getting so close last year to really be, just almost, you could almost make an argument he's better than Brady if they would have won, and to not get it, I think that's going to knock him back a peg.
Yeah, Brady, Brady had a breaking point potentially in his career. You lose the biggest game of your career where you could have become the ultimate dynasty and greatest team of all time. The next season, halfway through the first quarter, Bernard Pollard ends your season, almost ends the dream, and then they go that full decade without a Super Bowl, another win.
It's going to be interesting because you wonder, part of what got Tom his juice was being late, picked in the late rounds, and then Belichick always kind of needling him. Let's bring in Garoppolo. Let's, light a fire on him. Would Andy Reid do that with Patrick Mahomes? Bring in a second-round quarterback?
Yeah, he's got kids. Now he's got the steakhouse with Kelsey. He's got tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. That's why I'm saying, here could be this, complacency point. Or does he double down Brady style? We'll see.
He's got a chance to do something funny this year, fellas. Backup quarterback for the Chiefs this year is Gardner Minshew. Third string currently on the roster, Bailey Zappi.
That's right.
Got a chance to do something very funny with Patrick
Or QB1, as
Kendrick
Bourne calls him.
That's right.
You folks know the number. Send in a text or give us a call, 617-779-7937. As we come to you from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, tens of hundreds of fans lined up on Lansdowne Street are now starting to team into the stadium in anticipation of tonight's Rays-Red Sox game. When we come back, we'll wrap up all of other news, notes, and nuggets in the NFL here, heading towards the 5 o'clock hour on WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
All right, so we were just talking Patrick Mahomes here on WEEI Afternoons, and there was some audio that came up earlier this week of, I believe, Ted, was this a Houston radio host or was this a...
Kansas City.
It was a Kansas City radio. So this actually, the call came from inside the building.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Okay, yep. So there was a Kansas City radio host who accused Patrick Mahomes of being fat and out of shape and that he was a disgrace to the franchise. Stiz, do you happen to have that audio on the ready by chance?
No, but I will effort to find it right now.
Okay, thank you very much. Is that, does that, I mean, I've seen him with the dad bod. I've seen him in the match against, with Josh Allen against Brady and Rodgers.
So it was a picture in a, in like a swimsuit, I believe,
yeah,
with his wife that
on,
went
the,
viral.
Yes,
the,
on,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That went viral on the 4th of July.
Yes.
Most of us, I believe the U's and the Me's of the world, maybe not Tedosaurus over here, but like the U's and the Me's of the world would probably kill to be in that kind of shape.
Looked perfectly fine to me.
Just fine as far as, yeah, I'm concerned. Yeah. I wouldn't even say, would you call that photo that went viral of Mahomes, Ted, would you say that was dad bod?
I didn't notice that he was that fat. I don't know.
This isn't new, though. This is,
is he a little chunky?
At least the second
year
in a row.
People have been dogging him about that, like too many Bud Lights and ice creams.
Yeah, right.
But can you argue, like, here's the thing. Can you argue against the body of work?
No, you cannot.
As long as he goes out and performs, then why do I care?
When's the last guy that's won a Super Bowl quarterback that's had six-pack abs? Do you know of one?
Jalen Hurts is in pretty damn good shape.
Okay. All right. There's one.
But, you know, he didn't win the Super Bowl alone. There's this guy, Milton Williams. Man, this guy.
Tell me Nick Foles wasn't shredded.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
I mean, Brady wasn't always. Like, wasn't his whole thing.
Tebow was the only one. Like, Tebow looked like a linebacker playing quarterback. But I don't know if this is what this host, but this is what the host said about Mahomes being overweight. He says, you're $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We get our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool hanging out with a 60-year-old. My skin is flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. That's end quote from and it's like, dude, this guy's clearly still ticked off that they lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
That was Kevin Kitesman.
And so, yeah, this guy Kevin thinks that him being a little bit, in his view, a little bit overweight at the 4th of July means he's not committed to winning, which I think is a ridiculous link to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I mean, we had a call earlier on in the show from a Celtics fan who said we're not being hard enough on the Boston Celtics for making it to the Eastern Conference Finals with ease, winning a title, making it to multiple finals, all that kind of stuff. This is Kansas City now being in that era of the spoiled champion fan base. These are the
nitpicks. They are the new us.
Yeah, this is the nitpicks that you end up getting when the level of failure is losing in the finals and the level of win of success is winning in the finals, and that's that's just kind of where this comes from.
Spoiled.
And other thing that came from this too. It may sound a little disingenuous talking about weight when we just had all these Rafael Devers conversations. Mahomes is a winner. He's in the conversation for the greatest of all times. If Devers was performing anywhere near what Mahomes is doing in football, we wouldn't give a crap about his weight.
In his 20s, he's in the conversation for greatest of all time. By the way, I do love that Mahomes' trainer, guys, got his back as well. Yep.
That's what you want your trainer to do, man.
Yep, his trainer, Bobby Stroop, fired back with a now since deleted message on Twitter. So he responded emotionally and then decided to high road it. But of course, there are receipts. It's 2025. Send me your location, he writes back to Kevin Kiesman. You obviously need attention. If you want to see what in shape is, go make it through a practice at training camp or run hurry up offense scrambling back to back to back plays. You don't have a clue what it takes. It's not a look, it's performance. That's a mic drop right there.
Yeah. That's I think that's and that's fair. I mean, have we heard anything about, like, I've never heard of like some story. Like, you hear stories of some guys working out and how they work out. You know, I mean, Walter Payton is known for his workouts. Roger Craig was known for his workouts. There's just certain guys that Aaron Donald known for his workouts. I mean, have you heard anything ever out of Kansas City that Mahomes doesn't put the work in or is lazy or isn't a good worker?
Quite the opposite. I feel like it's at worst we hear no news about it. He also doesn't put his workouts on Instagram though, so I don't know how we're supposed to know what he's doing in the off season. Yeah, yeah, so maybe we can surmise that he's not working that hard because he hasn't gone viral doing it.
I always go back to the John Crook line though. You know what I mean? Like it's the whole thing. Like, don't worry about me. I'm not an athlete. I'm a ball player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like That's okay. You know,
I hate you, John Cruyff, because I could I had, there's guys that just they're just so naturally gifted.
Yep,
you can say that line with a straight face.
Yep,
but and there's very few.
Very few. Yeah, John Daly.
I mean, John did
ripping darts and crushing PBRs and winning money.
That's a life I want.
The walrus. I mean,
yeah,
guys that are and John Cruyff was like he was big dude, but
he was.
Boy, could he hit the ball? I mean, it didn't even matter.
There were some other little football nuggets as well, but we're going to be up against it momentarily. Aaron Rodgers is off to a great start with Steeler fans yelling at people for asking for autographs, accusing them of being autograph hounds. We'll get to that another day, but I did want to get to this.
Well, we should play it in odds and ends because that's funny.
Oh, we do have it. Okay, terrific. Excellent. We'll grab that one later, but I do want to cap off Football O'Clock with what I think is the best L anyone has taken since Patrick Mahomes got handily defeated by the Philadelphia Eagles. Gentlemen, this was the final Jeopardy question earlier this week. What's that?
I was saying we were up against it. We should save it for odds and ends.
Oh, you want to save that too?
Yeah.
Listen, look what happens. This guy produces a hot diss track. He blows up social media. Now he's telling me the way we should do things. You
well,
know
it's what. Friday. We have an expanded odds and ends.
Oh, you're right. How about that? Well, I guess you're in charge of the show now. Host is Greg. You're right, dude. We'll save it all for the 5 o'clock hour when we get to expanded odds and ends, where we'll also talk about a new movie that's come out that everyone's excited about, a new way to play baseball that does not involve the bananas, and somebody that was drunker than Olive Fenway on television earlier this week. Look forward to that in the 5:30 hour. Plus, we're going to play Stiz Grimey's hot diss track defending our guy, Will Fleming. But when we come back, we got to get Ted's thoughts on the Red Sox. Big win last night, 7 in a row. Plus, the return of St. Bregman. What does that mean tonight? And over these 3 games against the Rays, are the Sox hot? Are the Sox for real? Let's get your thoughts here on WEEI Afternoons. Don't go anywhere.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.